You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome back to the Weekside Podcast. We are already underway in the legal tampering period. I'm Jenny Rentis here with Connor Orr, and we are going to make sense of some of the moves that have happened so far and some that have not, Connor.
With our luck, just like with the Dak Prescott contract last week, we will wrap up a killer show and then a giant flurry of deals will happen, cascading down the mountain as soon as we're done. So that'll be a good sign for all of us. As soon as we're done, that's when all the news is going to happen.
Well, it's always difficult to pick a recording time during free agency, so we're just doing our best. We're going with it. We had a few early headlines we're going to talk about. Things will develop over the next few days, and we'll just have to see where that takes us, Connor.
It is a bizarre, like, you and I have been through, I started covering the NFL in 2010. You started covering the NFL, well, a couple years before that. Like, this is what, probably your 13th, 14th, 15th free agency, something like that, would you
say?
Are
you trying to count how old I am?
No. Mm-mm. No,
I'm just kidding. You were like, oh, you started covering it well before, and then you caught yourself. I heard that, Connor.
Because
yes,
it was in my mind a difference between dating you via age or undercutting your experience. And so it was really a rock and a hard place there, and I chose not to undercut experience. So
all right, Connor. We'll give you a pass on that. Shelby also caught it though, the well before that you were about to say, but all good. I see your intentions. We're all friends here, so.
Oh, but it feels like we've been through different waves, right? There was the one free agency, maybe it was like 2011 or 2012, where you spend all that time sort of gathering intel and you wait for the clock to tick so you can start really, like, these things start happening. And then I remember one year, like, I thought I had a good offseason, you know, tried to make some contacts, and then Adam Schefter literally at 4:01 just tweeted every single deal in succession. And then, like, I was like, okay, that's it. Free agency is over. And then, you know, some years it comes in waves, and this is another really strange one where it seems like some of the biggest deals have not gone off the board yet. As of us recording this at 3:41 on Monday, and of course the actual opening of the window has not happened yet, but a lot of deals are done, but some of the ones that we've expected have not been done yet.
Yeah, Kenny Golladay, as of this recording, is not done yet. Trent Williams. So there's a lot of big ones that we're still expecting. Connor, I have to say, so this year we didn't have the combine, which gives you a sense. You're able to see which GMs are huddling with which agents. There's a lot of rumors going on. Harder to read the tea leaves this year. But on my Signal app, which is an encrypted app, a general manager joined early this morning. I got the notification. Such and such is now on Signal. So my eyes are on that team. I'm curious what secret deal is being worked out.
Can we talk after this? Because there was another one recently that I had, and then I stopped receiving notifications from Signal. I wonder if it's the same person.
Oh, boy.
I'm gonna drop
we've got to compare notes.
I'm going to drop it in the chat. Hold on.
All right. This is...
Our viewers are going to love this, that we just can't see it.
No, it is not that person.
Oh, okay. Well, that person is also on Signal, which, I mean, a little less exciting in the grand scheme of things. But I love that. Signal.
Signal. I mean, that's where all the deals get done. That's where I do most of my business, Connor. Signal, you know.
GMs, coaches, owners. You've had problems with coaching searches. You've had problems with research in the draft. You've had problems with secrecy and free agency. Hire a journalist. There are plenty of good journalists out there. They can help you with all of those things, including getting you on Signal. So there you go.
really is always a tell. Whenever I see someone join Signal, my eyebrows go up. So I'm watching this team. But for the time being, we have the information that is already out there. So let's dive into these less encrypted pieces of news so far.
Let's do it.
I'll start, Connor.
Okay.
The Patriots are fun and evil again. Whoopee. Okay, Connor has written this topic, just for clarification. In the first 3 hours of the legal tampering period, New England has spent half of the amount of money that they've spent in the previous 10 years via free agency, signing Matt Judon, Jalen Mills, Davin Godchaw, Jonnu Smith, and re-signed Cam Newton. This is great. Your move, Tom Brady.
Don't you love this? I love this.
I love it.
This is amazing. Like, nobody... there's the GIF that's popular online of Bill Belichick purposefully walking forward, ignoring all the children that want to give him a high five. And it's overused, mostly by people who aren't funny, but it is so apt in this moment where it feels like he has emerged, from this slumber. I was, recently listening to the song Thriller by Michael Jackson, and that gives me that vibe where it's like someone coming out of the tomb to wreak havoc on the NFL, and here he comes. This is just so exciting. I love this.
Yeah, I mean, we talked a lot on this show about how last year was kind of a lost season for the Patriots, and we were curious to see what they would do. They had a ton of cap space. They made two moves last week, the trade to get Trent Brown back. They re-signed Cam Newton, which seemed to signal that they would be very active, but this was even a little bit more active than perhaps we anticipated, and a lot of really big early moves. I think Matt Judon really stands out to me, and I think you and I both wrote last week, Connor, that we thought Bill might try to take advantage of a slightly depressed market, and Matt Judon's deal really stands out to me as that, because the average is only $14 million per year, which is a pretty good price for a four-year contract for a very good pass rusher.
Yeah, and it signals to us too that, I mean, I would guess that there is a larger plan at play here. Now, like, I don't know if guys would take less theoretically to go to the Patriots unless they knew that there was something bigger afoot here than maybe just a similar version of this like plotty Cam Newton offense that they were running last year. You know, like maybe they know something that other people don't know. I don't know. I think it would be interesting, especially someone like Matt Judon, who I would assume had options, including going back to the Ravens. The Ravens defense just doesn't function properly without him. And so I think that'll be sort of interesting to see how that all clears out. But I think all this is very exciting. I mean, the NFL is just not the NFL without like a scheming Machiavellian Belichick just lurking around here. And now that he's just nipping everybody off in free agency, I love it. Jonnu Smith is another great example where that's a player that, you know, you heard going into free agency that he was going to have that big $10+ million a year market. And I did a thing where I paired a bunch of free agents with prospective teams, thought about the Patriots, but was like, I don't know. I don't think they're going to be there. I don't know if Bill Belichick is going to go that buck wild in free agency. But he said, not so fast, Connor. We're doing this. And I love it. Like, I think he's perfect for that offense. And you can't judge everything on free agency alone, but with all the players that are coming back, you know, COVID holdouts from last year, plus this influx of free agency, plus this is the best draft capital that they've had in years. I'm very interested to see how this all turns out.
Last year, I happened to be in New England before their playoff loss to the Titans, and I have this enduring memory of Belichick's press conference before the game, and somebody was asking him about the Titans' multiple tight end sets, and eventually someone asked a specific question about Jonnu Smith, and he just gushed about him. He said, you know, he's a very athletic player. I pulled up the transcript, Connor. I'm reading from it.
Of course.
He's a very athletic player, hard to tackle, catches the ball well. He's great after the catch. Probably the best in the league. I mean, I can't imagine anybody better than him after the catch. So pretty glowing review of Jonnu Smith. And now he's got his Jonnu Smith. He's got an offensive weapon for... That was, I mean, a glaring weakness of the Patriots, right? The last two seasons is they needed this offensive playmaker, and goes out and gets Jonnu Smith and hasn't made any. I mean, we know Belichick has this thing where he often praises opposing players, but clearly he meant it.
Belichick, as an aside, has perfected the unintentional like dad move where you make your kid slightly jealous through your praise of somebody else doing a very similar thing. Bill is so good at that. Like, because I think, you know, people like Tom Brady and Gronk who are so loyal to him over the years, and then like he'll go out and say something like really glowing about like Cam Newton or Jonnu Smith or one of those guys.
Cam's leadership.
Yeah. And it's just like one of those, it's just like the perfect like little, you know, that, and he just does it so well, you know. But I love it. I think this is great. And I think, too, maybe we're overlooking the fact that, I mean, this is Cam Newton signed for backup money. There's no question about it. I mean, the fact that there are so many incentives in the contract probably leads us to believe that he thinks he can win the starting job, or he can at least score enough or win enough games to make back some of the incentives in the contract. But I don't think they're done there either. And I think that we could see just a flurry of interesting moves on offense, because right now it looks like they're sort of focused defensively. But I think the other side of the ball, I don't think they're done yet either.
Yeah, I think it's totally possible they make another move at the quarterback position. And as you said, you know, they've made a lot of moves on defense. I thought Jalen Mills was a little surprising to me because he had kind of an up and down tenure in Philly. But if anyone knows defensive backs, Bill knows defensive backs, so clearly he'll have a good plan for him. But yeah, I mean, we've been wondering what the post-Brady plan would look like in earnest when it wasn't a year where they had a league-high 8 players opting out and Cam Newton's joining the team in July. And, you know, it just didn't look like the Patriots last year. And so Belichick hasn't traditionally spent a lot in free agency, but he spends when he needs it. So a few years ago, he brought in Stephon Gilmore because he knew to run his defensive system, he needed a shutdown corner on the back end to play a lot of man-to-man. He spent that year. And this year, they've had some draft misses, and they really need to replenish the talent on the roster, had the space to spend in a year when there's a depressed market, and they've gone for it.
Yeah, I love it. I love Bill going for it. Patriots, future AFC East champions again. We're back. Like, you know what? You know what's gonna feel like we're back from all this is when we're in a Super Bowl media day covering the Patriots. You know, and that's when we're gonna know that life has come full circle again. That everything is not okay, certainly, but you know, everything is back to nature has healed and we've been born anew again. When we're back sitting around listening to Bill Belichick mumble about injury. Leading up to the Super Bowl. Very, very excited for this.
All right. Topic number 2, Connor.
Let's see.
Excited for you to read this one.
Drew Brees has officially retired, leaving the Saints to do the only sensible thing. Sign Taysom Hill to a 30-year contract extension. Is he the future at QB, or is there something larger afoot? Jenny, I don't really have anything to say about Taysom Hill other than the fact that that was the most ridiculous contract ever. I mean, it's just voidable years. They need to alleviate some of their salary cap issues, but it does make all other contracts seem fairly ludicrous by design. It's almost like when you win the Powerball, but then you automatically get half of that because of taxes, but then if they ended up taking another half of it, so you don't get anything, you know?
That's a good way to describe it, Connor. I like that analogy. It's a little bit different, which we can always expect from Connor or analogies. We know Taysom Hill is in their plans for this year, but I guess the question is there someone else? Will they be able to bring Jameis Winston back? It seems like there would be interest there in bringing him back. Would he have a better market elsewhere? That's the question. And would they have a second plan, Taysom Hill and someone else? It looks like they probably would like to have a Hill-Winston duo heading into 2021 season, but is that what they will end up with?
I can talk myself into a Taysom Hill, Jameis Winston offense much easier than I can talk myself into either a Taysom Hill offense or a Jameis Winston offense, if that makes sense.
That does make sense.
And it's weird because I was hypercritical of the way that they would pull and push Taysom Hill on and off the field. But I feel like on one hand, you're pulling Drew Brees off the field. And on the other hand, now you're pulling off a quarterback with, you know, kind of a wild ebbs and flows in performance. And it does make sense that situationally you could use Jameis Winston and then sort of decoy things out. I mentioned this on the Monday morning podcast, but my my friends down at Princeton Football have perfected the use of a quarterback from the 0 to the 20 and the 20 to the 0, and then another quarterback between the 20 and the 20. That was something that they did fairly regularly. And so I think
that's smart.
Maybe thinking about it that way. Yeah, you have like a Tebow guy for goal line to 20, 20 to goal line, and then you have someone who can throw the ball between the 20s. And then, you know, defenses have to prepare for essentially two offenses, and you run it that way. But I don't know. I mean, I think it probably wouldn't be outside the realm of possibility, like, especially if the Patriots sign another guy, like, we could be headed for a time when this just is a totally sensible thing, right? I mean, 10 years ago, it would have been like, no, of course you can't do that. And then the Colin Kaepernick thing happened, and he started taking some snaps from Alex Smith. And then slowly this thing starts snowballing to the point where, like anything in the NFL, it gets cyclical, it gets normalized, and a lot of teams do it. But if any coach has the time and the leeway to try to invest in this, I would say it was probably Sean Payton. So,
yeah, I mean, there are a lot of examples of how it's sort of moving in this direction, right? You want a couple options at the quarterback position. I mean, at least that was the explanation for the Eagles drafting Jalen Hurts. It's, you know, we're moving to an expanded season. The injury risk is high in the NFL. And you know, the platoon approach would be one step further. We saw a taste of it with the Saints and Taysom Hill, but would they go a step further where it's, as you mentioned, sort of a more equal type of split?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm interested. I mean, I would like to see it. He was very creative with Teddy Bridgewater. I thought that the offense was a lot of fun to watch when they had Teddy Bridgewater in for an extended period of time. He was very creative with Taysom Hill. Offense was a lot of fun to watch. So good for you, Sean Payton. You know, do it. That would be fun. And we just get to stop wondering. Well, it's sort of a lose-lose. Well, it's a win-lose. We get to stop wondering when Drew Brees is going to, like, you know, oh, is he going to retire? Isn't he going to retire? Like, that's not a subplot for the offseason. The bad news is, I have a feeling this is going to be some fairly milquetoast to borderline troubling analysis in the media world from Drew Brees. I'm not necessarily looking forward to, because if our readers don't know, especially those outside the country, he is going to be like a football analyst now. He's going to be on TV talking about football for a living.
Okay, that is a good point and something to keep an eye on. I thought you were going to go in a different direction and say we will see a big step back from the Saints this season, which also would not be surprising.
Or all that troubling on my end. So, you know, you know, but, you know, I'm so colored by the Tony Romo experience. It is just such a breath of fresh air to watch him call a game that no push for the next quarterback is going to make me feel the same way. You know, you never forget your first like that. And Tony Romo just blew my mind, made me love football again. And Jay Cutler, I bet, would have done the same thing had he not come out of retirement to play for the Dolphins and then just disappear kind of. But I'm not excited for Drew Brees in the booth. I don't think I can get jacked up for that. I don't know.
It's a difficult thing to achieve. You need a combination of excitement, which Tony Romo clearly has, an ability to share your vast football knowledge in a form that is digestible on a TV broadcast. And, you know, you need to have the respect, obviously, which Brees does, of the coaches and players you talk to leading up to the game. But it's just a difficult balance to hit all of those three things.
Definitely. All right, what do we have for our third and final topic? Again, we're going to kind of compress the show a little bit because of free agency. We keep everything fresh and relevant here as deals are flying off the board, but we obviously come back and hit it hard next Tuesday as well. But what do we have for number three?
All right, the Buccaneers bagged Shaq Barrett on a long-term deal Monday. Again, that's Connor Orr language. Maybe wouldn't have picked that verb. Securing all three of Tampa Bay's free agents, Lavonte David, Chris Godwin, and Barrett ahead of free agency. Repeating is tough, but do they have the foundation?
I don't know. What do you think?
Well, it's interesting because this was evidently in their minds, 2021 was going to be their year. Mm-hmm. I mean, Bruce Arians said that he didn't think things would come together as quickly as they did, which was the concerns that all of us had. No offseason, you know, coming in, learning a vastly different offense for Brady and meshing with his new teammates, not having all of that time to get on the same page, just seemed like, even in Bruce Arians' mind, that they would be building in 2020 for 2021. But they came together late in the season, went on a run, won a championship. So now here they are, and this was supposed to be their year, and they had a lot of pieces they wanted to keep. They still have other pieces they will try to keep, you know, Fournette, Gronkowski, Antonio Brown. So, but they've got the three big ones, right? And yeah, I mean, first of all, one, it speaks to the Tom Brady effect that they were willing to keep these guys. Shaq Barrett agreed to a deal with the Bucks, didn't test the market. And two, I think, you know, what we saw last season exceeded expectations, and there's no reason to expect that they can't be just as good this coming year.
Yeah, I think it's going to be one of those things where we spend all off season saying, and gosh, I'm going to repeat myself, I'm going to end up on a Tom Brady hype video at some point, but just, oh yeah, getting the band back together, bringing everybody back together, here we go. But it just, it doesn't work that way necessarily in the NFL, and the Buccaneers are a great example of that, because look what they did to the Chiefs. We all thought that the Chiefs were going to be mm-hmm. unstoppable, and they were getting the yeah. band back together, and they were doing all this stuff. And you know, but again, I mean, Tom Brady is just this outlier. I mean, he's just special, and he's making things happen in the NFL that have never happened before. So who knows? But I think that, as we've seen with any team that's going to repeat as a Super Bowl champion, not only do you have to bring back the core players, but you have to bring back that hunger and that attitude, and you have to add to that then. I mean, you have to become a better team. And who knows, maybe another year with Tom Brady, maybe you do become a better team. I don't know. I think that's entirely possible as well.
Yeah. One interesting thing is you often hear of the Super Bowl hangover, and some of those reasons being that, one, players leave the team, but obviously they're trying to keep them. But the other factor is guys have a lot of opportunities and can do a lot more things off the field. This year is a little different, right? I mean, seems like we're coming out of the worst part of the pandemic. There's a lot of hope with the vaccine and things are trending towards normal. But it wasn't, you know, after the Super Bowl, they didn't have the same opportunities for travel or endorsements. It's just a little bit more tempered this year, right? So perhaps maybe that won't be the case for them. And you make a good point about the Chiefs, but they did still make it to the Super Bowl.
True. That's true. But I don't know.
I hear you. Yeah, you're kind of recapturing like an energy and a magic and
because there
drive.
Is, right? I mean, yeah. There's just like, there's a vibe about it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've covered one good team in our life, you know, two good teams in our lives. And, you know, we remember, you know, kind of that bottled energy that's there, you know, and you could feel it. I'm not embarrassed to admit that there is something that you could feel in a locker room when things are clicking and a team is talented mm-hmm. and good and moving in the same direction. I just happen to have a lot more experience walking into locker rooms of complete and total discord, you know, the 2013 Giants, the 2014 Giants, the 2011 Jets, the 2012 Jets, you know, but yeah, I don't know. I think it's cool. It's exciting. It sets up sort of this maybe New England foible if both teams can get good and get back. And, you know, maybe, you know, if there's a Patriots-Buccaneers Super Bowl, I'll just melt of excitement. There's things to look forward to is all I'm saying.
I like that. I like that, Connor. But yeah, to your point, there's also there's a freeness that comes with playing with house money, which I think the Bucs sort of had, because yes, there were expectations obviously for Tom Brady coming to Tampa Bay, but it was a different kind of sense. And again, if they thought 2021 was going to be their year, so I think there was probably a freeness that they could play with, and there was a novelty too. You know, they had these off-season workouts at a Tampa high school, and you know, these unusual bonding experiences during a really strange year. So you're right. It will be hard to duplicate or recapture all of that.
Indeed. All right. So we're going to we're still going to hit you with an oracle this week. My oracle from last week didn't happen yet, but I am going to I'm going to stand on that. Zach Ertz to either the Bills or the Colts. I think that's still going to happen. But I will say, as an extension of the Buccaneers talk, I think that this offseason will be a very big offseason for the discussion of the quote-unquote dream team. And I think that it will center around the Bucs. I think the Bucs are going to add, you know, one or two more Hollywood-type pieces, name brand pieces. I don't know, like maybe like Richard Sherman is out there. Like, wouldn't that be the kind of guy that you think would go down to Tampa Bay and play with Tom Brady? Like, so, a guy like that, you know, something like that where it's like, oh, yeah, I don't know. Generic fan blather there. Yeah. So I think that there'd be that element of it. But I think it's going to center around a few other teams, too. I think the Buccaneers were going to talk about a dream team. I think the Bills were going to talk about dream team because I think they're going to go for it. I think they're going to push their chips to the center of the table. I think the Patriots are another team that we're going to be talking dream team about, especially if they can get another quarterback in there. So I think this is going to be a big offseason for the dream team, and especially because, as you pointed out in your great free agency primer, which I urge everybody to read because I think it's probably even more instructive now than it was even when it was posted. But I think that market allows, you know, it's a depressed market for sure. But then if guys can't get the money that they want, what do? They want to go where it's exciting. They want to go where they can win. And I think that creating those scenarios, I think, is going to be interesting.
Yeah. I like it, Connor. Big off season for the
I've been doing this a lot with my hands today. I'm pointing to the, I'm like, it's like a point, but instead I'm like curving my fingers and just sort of like doing that. I don't know where that came from.
New hand gesture.
Yeah. I think
you learn over Zoom.
Yeah. I think I'm just going to try to keep my hands in my pockets from now on. Zoom etiquette, you know,
but one hand in your pocket and the other one, what is it? Waving a peace sign.
There's waving a peace sign. Doesn't smoking a cigarette was
smoking
one?
Smoking a cigarette.
Yeah. We could all use a little more Alanis right now.
Love Alanis.
Just the best.
Great memories there.
Yeah. Were you like a Jagged Little Pill person when it came out?
Yeah. That was when I was in, what, high school? You know, big listener of Alanis. So very defining of my teen years. Now I've got to look up what year. I mean, we're talking a lot about my age on this show, which I really don't have a problem with. I don't think we should be. You know, we should not be averse to talking about one's age, but let's see. Okay, Jagged Little Pill was released internationally in 1995. So, okay. I guess that was a little bit before I was in high school.
But, how old do you think Connor and Jenny are? Leave us a rating and review and put it in the... No. So that was like a mainstay in your Discman? Did you have a Discman?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I for sure had the album. I can see the cover. It's like her face in different colors. And yeah, I mean, great soundtrack. Mm-hmm. So,
All right. So speaking of great greatness in general, what do we have for the Vrenta's consensus today?
Consensus.
I think my consensus like is almost bordering on an oracle, but here we go this week. So while we've been recording this podcast, Joe Tooney's agent announced that he has agreed to a 5-year deal with the Chiefs. We saw the Kevin Zeitler signing to the Ravens. Trent Williams is one of the big names on the market. The 49ers would like to keep him, but he will have a lot of other options. So, Connor, I just really think that the linemen are going to be the free agents that make the biggest difference this year. Teams that are going to sign linemen, obviously the Chiefs, clearly with what happened in the Super Bowl, they need line help. I think Zeitler is perfect to put on the Ravens line. You know, Orlando Brown wants to go somewhere else and play left tackle. Trent Williams is still unfathomably playing at an all-pro level in his 30s. So yes, I just think that the offensive linemen who are on the move, who will have lots of teams courting them, will ultimately make the biggest impact on their new teams this season.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's such a, like, surprisingly tasty class. Like, you never see guys like this get to free agency, you know, which is
Corey
weird.
Lindsley.
Like,
yeah.
Like, I wonder what the underpinning of that is. Like, is it, do teams think again? Because remember, it was like 3 or 4 years ago when all the teams were going spread in college. There was that panic that we're not going to be able to develop good road grading offensive linemen anymore. You know, good, like, stoic pass blocking offensive linemen. And there were like 2 or 3 really bad draft classes in a row. Is the thought that that's now over again and that these guys are more expendable than they once were? I don't know.
Yeah, it's a good question, because there was a really excellent offensive line class last year. Obviously, Tristan Wirfs won a Super Bowl with the Bucs. You know, there were 4 tackles taken in the top, what was it, 12 or 13? So I don't know what the reason is, but yeah, that's exactly right. You don't normally see high caliber linemen get to the market because they are so valuable. So this year's class, there's a lot of great options. Like, if you need line help, there's a lot of great options in free agency. And so other players may steal the headlines, but I think ultimately the linemen will make the biggest impact this year.
I like it. Yeah. So it's funny. It's like a see ya. It's not a farewell. It's a see you soon, because this is like a TBD discussion. We gotta table it for now. You know.
I accidentally made an Oracle, Connor.
I know. I'm thrilled. Like, I think that it's about time that this show had an actual prognosticator that is going to get some things right from time to time. So,
well, listen, you know what I did, Connor, is I kind of made a prediction that you could make an argument for no matter what happens. Lots of linemen, varying degrees of ways to measure linemen's performance, you know. I think I gave myself some wiggle room there is what I'm
that
trying to
is,
say.
That is, I mean, listen, Oracle University, day one. That is what you learn right there. You give yourself a little wiggle room, you know?
Right, right. You can't lock yourself in too much, so.
Absolutely. But yeah, we will see you guys soon. And in the meantime, please leave us a rating and review on iTunes. If you want to pass us around, spread the word to your friends. Let them know about the Weakside Podcast. Send us an email at weaksidepod@gmail.com. Send us messages on Twitter if you have questions for future mailbag shows. If you want to fight about the Orioles, which is what I'm doing with a valued listener at this point. Well, not fight. We're just talking about how excited we are about the Orioles this year.
Banter.
But banter. Yeah. So if you want to banter about baseball or puzzles or anything, you know, we're here. We're ready to listen. So thanks again.
We've got some really good mailbag feedback and questions already in the account. So we'll get to those in the coming weeks. But as always, thanks everyone for listening. The Weakside Podcast is me, Jenny Vrentis, and Connor Orr. We are produced by Shelby Royston. SI's executive producer of podcasts is Scott Brody. Mark Moravik is the emeritus executive director of the MMQB. Our theme music was written and composed by singer-songwriter Ryan Harris Brown, whose latest album, Stranded in the Present Tense, is available now on all major streaming services. Keep up with the Weakside Podcast by subscribing to our new feed, and while you're there, leave a rating and review. It really does help other people find the show, which is also available on Spotify, Radio.com, Stitcher, or wherever else you find your podcasts.